This is Radio Superior 1943, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1943. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1943. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is radio station KUWS, broadcasting from studios in Superior, Wisconsin. It's 6 o'clock, Standard Wartime, Sunday, May 9th, 1943. A truly historic day in the history of Superior. The Martin and McKenna Show is on the air, and this is Rapid Ray Paulson. The whole gang is at Walter Butler Shipyards now to bring you the launching of five ships today. The first time any shipyard in the United States has done that. So stand by. Jack McKenna, Lou Martin, Harriet Farig, and Chief Engineer Joe Gardonio are all standing by to bring you this piece of history. Jack, can you hear me?
This is Lou Martin. Jack will be to the microphone soon, Ray.
Is he making a last-minute run to the little men's room?
Well, I'm afraid that's not it. We're learning that Jack is afraid of heights.
But we've always known that.
We didn't know he's afraid of being 10 feet off the ground.
Ooh, that is bad.
All right, you two. It's not the height. It's common sense. This platform is swaying, I tell you. It feels like I'm on a boat on Lake Superior.
That's just your imagination, Jack. Look here, Harriet's here, and she's fine, too.
Jack's knees are acting kind of funny, Lewis.
Usually, they just look funny.
The big question everybody wants to know is, can you see the Dione quintuplets?
We sure can, Ray.
Aren't they adorable? They're wearing cute little red coats and red hats, holding dainty corsages. What sweet smiles.
They just finished singing a song for the huge audience, estimated at nearly 20,000, that has gathered at the Butler Shipyards. The bulk of the crowd is outside the shipyard fence. Special guests are seated along the bleachers with good views of the five ships that will be christened by the Miracle Sisters, the Dione Quintuplets. We're waiting for the Master of Ceremonies, Cedric Adams of WCCO Radio, to start the program and the nationwide live broadcast. You doing okay, Jack?
I'm fine now, Lou. There's a telephone pole here that I can cling to. Welcome, good listeners, to the Martin and McKenna Show, live from the Butler Shipyards. It's a cool but beautiful day in Superior, and I'm told you can't buy a camera anywhere. All the stores in the Twin Ports are sold out. This is a day we'll never forget.
If that platform doesn't hold, it'll make some really memorable photos.
In just a moment, we're expecting Superior Diocese Bishop William Patrick O'Connor to give the invocation. After that, a list of distinguished speakers will say a few words.
Maybe that'd be a good chance to interview some of the shipyard workers.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Most Reverend Bishop William O'Connor.
In this time of peril to our two countries and the world, we gather under the umbrella and behind the shield of God the Father Almighty. We ask your blessing of divinity on these people here, the five ships that we will launch today, and the men who will sail her. Amen.
Bishop William O'Connor, himself a veteran of World War I. All soldiers here remember him as Father Bill.
Something to be said for Father Bill being short and to the point.
Superior City Council President A.D. Weldon is here to welcome the audience right now with a special nod to the 8-year-old Dione sisters. After Mr. Weldon, Duluth Mayor Edward Hatch will say a few words, followed by Wisconsin Governor Walter Goodland and Minnesota Governor Edward Thigh. Governor Thigh recently took office for Governor Harold Stassen, who left for active duty. U.S. Senator Alexander Wiley of Wisconsin will speak on behalf of Naval Secretary Frank Knox. Secretary Knox was unable to leave Washington. But Royal Canadian Naval Special Forces Captain Joseph Conley is here, so is Special Assistant to the President, Eugene Casey.
I've always wanted a special assistant. Say, good listeners, this is quite a setup. We're not far from the quintuplets, the little kids, and the ships.
We'll have to thank KUWS Chief Engineer Joe Gardonio for all the work that he's put in to allow us to bring you this important broadcast. Joe, can you come over here?
Well, I suppose I could. Well, now watch out now. Careful to step over those wires. Don't touch anything, Jack. Now, what we have here is a miracle in modern broadcasting. It takes years to be able to gain the knowledge needed to put all this together. Indeed, I'm afraid some simply haven't been able to master the complexities involved.
Very interesting, Joe.
I notice you're chewing quite a wad of gum, Joe, and you sure have a lot of rolls of tape hanging from your belt. Part of your modern miracle of the complexities of broadcasting. Tape and gum?
Well, I figure the tape and gum are good protection in case of certain announcers who might lay waste to my system of ours.
What's this cord laying over here do?
Jack, no, don't!
We're back at the KUWS studios. We're having some technical difficulties from our broadcasting platform at the Walter Butler Shipyards. Don Mason is with me.
We were hoping to not be needed. We can assume Joe is now using his tape and gum.
Where there's Jack, there needs to be a backup plan. Please stand by. We expect to be going back there in just a few minutes.
We have many local businesses who want to welcome and thank the Dion Quintuplets for celebrating this big day with us. The Pickwick Bar and Grill welcomes all of our visitors to stop by. The Pickwick is at 1125 Tower Avenue in Superior. The Fitker Brewing Company of Duluth adds its congratulations to the Butler Shipyards and its workers also. Fitker's welcomes the Quints and our Canadian friends, Ray.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks. We're still several minutes from the actual launchings, thanks to all of the speech-making going on.
Keep your fingers crossed.
And toes. Joe will get us back to the shipyard. Until then, we'll play one of your favorites. Good listeners, this is the Andrews Sisters. And don't sit under the apple tree on the Martin and McKenna Show.
With anyone else but me, anyone else but me, anyone else but me. No, 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 don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me till I come marching home. Don't go walking down Lover's Lane with anyone else but me, anyone else but me, anyone else but me. No, 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 don't go walking down Lover's Lane with anyone else but me till I come marching home. I just got word from a girl who heard from the girl next door to me. The boy she met just loves to pet and it fits you to a T. So don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me till I come marching home. With anyone else but me,
with anyone else but her.
No, 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 not a single soul but me. No, 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 don't you sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. Not till you see me, not until you see me marching home.
Home, 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 sweet home.
Don't go up and down Lover's Lane with anyone else but me,
with anyone else but her.
No, 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 not a single soul but me. No, 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 don't you go walking down Lover's Lane.
Home, 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 sweet home. Just wait till I come marching home.
Marching home, then we'll go arm in arm and sit down under the apple
free, baby, just you and me.
Is this mic on, guys? Oh. We're back at the Walter Butler Shipyards. Thanks, Don and Ray. You can sit back and relax for a while and uncross those fingers and toes.
Don't touch, step on, trip over, or otherwise relocate any of the cords, okay, Jack? Please?
Now, that could have happened to anyone.
Yeah, funny how it happened to you.
During that little intermission, we were lucky enough to get an exclusive here. The two men will be the X-Men to launch the five ships today are with us. Thank you, Werner Selene and David Carlson, for taking time out.
I don't know. I ain't got much time.
Nonsense. But the time those wee spikes are done with the speechifying, we'll be ready.
Mr. Selene, tell us about being an X-Man.
I'm Carlson. He's Selene.
You can call me Werner. I've been doing this since I came over from Finland as a young man.
This is a nerve-wracking work, even in the best of times. Now we've got all these big shots and high rollers and movie-tone cameras on us. I don't like it, I tell you, not a lick.
I like it. I hope Lowell Thomas gets me on the movie tone. But I get to see myself at the Saturday night movies at the Palace.
I like this better. We look better on the radio, Werner. And no pressure.
I thrive on the pressure. Give me an axe, I'll do my job. Being an axeman is really teamwork, though. Chopper and me.
He calls me Chopper. I kind of like it.
We go way back to the First World War shipping launch together at the old Krobe shipyards.
That's right. I'm at the stern. Werner's at the bow. And we better be in sync, or we could have a disaster on our hands.
It's like a chopper, and I know each other better than anyone. We got to swing the axe and cut the cable at the same time. Our aim had better be true.
That there cable is all that's holding the ship on dry land. Once it's cut, she'll start her sideways slide into the slip. But we just wait for the little Quint girls to drop the hanky. Then the launching master gives us the signal and chop.
How many of these have you launched?
15.
Should have been 16.
That one didn't count, no. You can't count that one.
You mean one launching went awry?
It wasn't the ship.
No, it wasn't no ship. It was my own boat, I tell you. My home. I live on it. And we went to launch her. And Werner swings his axe. Oh. And he misses.
The rope moved, I tell you. It wasn't my fault. The sound that was glaring in my eyes. That wind was something fierce.
I trust today's wind and sun won't be a problem.
The Gorkers would be pretty mad at us if we did anything wrong.
The Gorkers are the guys who ride down the suit to suit on board the ship after we cut the gables. They run around looking for leaks and caulk them if they see them.
Gorkers get mean if the ride down the chute is rough.
Yeah, they can do more than plug leaks with a caulking gun.
Of course, everyone's doing what they can for the war effort. Tell me about your axes. I've never seen one like that.
And you won't, neither.
No, these are sacred axes. The blade is extra sharp.
We only use these for launchings.
And we wrap the handles in good old red, white, and blue strips.
Could say we're real live nephews of our Uncle Sam.
Well, with a bit of Bob Onion, maybe. You do, don't you know that?
Hey, I don't like the two of you swinging those choppers around here. We got a lot of equipment here.
You'll have to excuse our engineer. He's a little snake bit today, what with all that's going on.
Yeah, you can't blame me with the likes of those who don't respect the equipment.
Thank you, Mr. Werner Selene and David Carlson, the X-Men who today will cut the ropes to launch the five Lend-Lease ships.
I'm getting out of here. All these wires and stuff give me the willies.
Just let me hold that axe, Mr. Selene. Boy, that blade looks sharp. And it's heavy, too.
Jack, I don't think...
Don't let him...
We're back at the KUWS studios. We're having some technical difficulties again from our broadcasting platform at the Walter Butler Shipyards. Don Mason is with me.
Well, we're hoping Joe has some extra gum and tape. I have to say that was an interesting interview.
Well, right up to the time that Jack got a hold of the axe.
Funny how that worked out.
The Coolerator Company in Duluth sends its congratulations to Walter Butler Shipbuilders on the launching of the Quint Fleet today. You know, Coolerator is not only making its famous ice-conditioned refrigerators for the duration, it's also producing precision-built bomb fins to guide the bomb straight and true to the target. And Coolerator is also producing watertight doors for ships. Production for victory is Coolerator's motto.
Zenith Dredge Company is also doing its part for the war effort. They know our neighbor Jim, who used to wait on you at the corner grocery. He's driving a tank in Tunisia. And Johnny, the kid down the block, is flying fighter planes in New Guinea in the South Pacific. Zenith Dredge knows this is a global war. Since they laid their first keel in 1941, Zenith has launched 6 ships for the United States Coast Guard. Every one of us is proud to be playing a part in our nation's fight for freedom. So, Zenith Dredge of Duluth welcomes the Dionne Quintuplets, and hats off to Butler Shipyards.
And we'll be back with the Quints and with Lou and Jack. Until then, here's the North Shore Big Band and a number appropriate for today on our special quintuplet broadcast for this May the 9th, 1943, on station KUWS.
Fine patriotic music of the North Shore Big Band, good listeners. This is Jack McKenna with Lou Martin, and we're broadcasting live from the Walter Butler Shipyards on this fabulous Sunday afternoon, May the 9th, 1943.
A truly historic day as we wait for the Dionne Quintuplets to each christen a ship for launching into the Superior Harbor. We're told they'll also entertain us with a song or two.
If I can move over here a little, I think we can get a better view of the girls. Ouch! You poked me.
I'm not letting you move around this platform. 2 times in 20 minutes, that's too much for any man. I'm running out of tape and gum and staples. My jaw hurts so bad from chewing gums to keep things fixed that you've been walking around by, and the rubber bands and the toothpicks to keep us on the air.
That's our engineer, Joe Gardonio. How can you keep us on the air with toothpicks?
Well, the toothpicks are the most important tool I have.
But ouch again!
It keeps Jack from tripping over, breaking up, or uprooting any more of her wires.
Well, accidents do happen. That's why they call them accidents.
Guaranteed they do. Yeah, whenever you're around.
Let me introduce our community editor, Harriet Feirig. who has an extra special guest, the famous NBC Blue Network women's specialist, the commentator Alma Hopkins Kitchell.
This is such an honor, Mrs. Kitchell.
Isn't this a perfectly exciting day for all of us, Harriet?
I suppose everyone knows that you were born and raised in Superior before you struck out for New York in the big time.
It's been a long time. What the heck?
Well, it would be fun to our Italian.
I still got the accent.
It
hasn't been that long.
All right.
Isn't this a perfectly exciting day for all of us, Harriet?
I suppose everyone knows that you were born and raised in Superior before you struck out for New York in the big time.
It's been a long journey for this little town girl, Harriet. I always dreamed I would someday work on the radio. And who would have known that I'd end up doing 5,000 broadcasts over the last 16 years? But you know, Harriet, I never forget where I'm from. I try to work Superior into my broadcasts wherever I can. And my secretary and everyone in my office knows that if someone calls from Superior, they're to be put right through to me directly.
You know, Louis, Alma is so gracious. She's staying with her mother, Mary Hopkins. She's just one of the girls.
I don't claim to be anything else but a busy Mrs. America, just like every other woman. I have two sons, a husband, and a home to care for. But you know, Harriet, and all of you listeners out there, I'm proud to come from a good, hard-working, middle-class family in a Midwestern town.
Oh, tell us, Alma, about your journey to stardom.
Harriet, I'm no different from any other of the ladies out there listening. I went to Blaine Grade School. I was a member of the first graduating class at Central High. I treasure memories of going to St. Albans Church, where I was married. You know, Reverend Guy Hill was nice enough to ask me to sing at this morning's service. Seems a long time ago, Harriet, when I left to sing in New York.
I understand you made your big break. Sometimes we women have to be assertive.
It's the only way to succeed, my dear. I went to WJZ Radio for an audition. They said the band was on break, so I plunked my music down on the piano and gave my own accompaniment. I sang Darling Nellie Gray.
I see Mrs. Roosevelt mentioned you in her newspaper column, My Day.
Eleanor Roosevelt is one of us, Harriet. We're all patriotic and doing what we can for our men fighting overseas and at home. I gave one of my more unusual broadcasts while I was donating blood to the Red Cross. I was worried I might get woozy.
If I look at the needle, that's it for me. Woozy city.
It's just good to be back home. It's been 4 years, you know. I was here to do a special broadcast when Prince Olaf and Princess Martha came here from Norway.
I got to talk to the prince.
Me too. Isn't this a great job? But it's so important in these terrible times. We women must help in whatever way we can so we can win this war and get our sons and husbands home again. But you know, Harriet, once this war is over, and it will end someday.
It seems like a faraway dream.
When it is over, I believe firmly that women should return to their homes and families. Working in factories doesn't mean we'll lose our femininity. The home comes first, and the best job of all is being a wife and mother.
Raising a family is an important job. I also believe there is no place a woman can't work, and we're proving it right now.
Your boss lets you say that on the air?
Sisters stick together here in Superior. Any funny business, and they find out who really runs this town.
I can vouch for that.
Me too.
Yeah, me three, a veritable hornet's nest.
I'm impressed.
Men and women share and share alike. So what would you like to do after the launching?
Oh, go to Billings Park and pick cowslip. Then drive out to Park Point and look at Lake Superior. Then go to our old summer home on Murray Lake. I'd just like to see my old friends.
Thank you, Mrs. Alma Hopkins Kitchell, nationally known for her NBC Blue Network program on women's issues.
We must stay in touch, dear.
Did you hear that, Lou? She called me dear. Alma Kitchell thinks I'm a dear. Ouch! What? Stop that!
Joe warned you. If you move around, he'll be there to poke you with a toothpick.
My arm is going to look like a pincushion pretty soon.
Well, we're still on the air, aren't we?
So, you're Joe the engineer. Pleased to meet you.
Well, it's a pleasure, Mrs. Hitchell. Mr. Kitz.
Smooth.
You?
Smooth, huh? Hey, ouch.
I'm so interested in this engineering stuff. All these wires and equipment. The engineers in New York never give me the time of day when I ask them about it. What's this great big wire for? It looks heavy.
Well, you got to be able to do a lot of heavy lifting in this racket. Yeah, it's physically demanding. Now, you take this wire. I like to call it Main Cable A. Now, you've got to be careful, since Main Cable A is the only link between the broadcasting equipment and my transmitter. So, when lifting Main Cable A like so...
We're back at the KUWS studios. We're having some technical difficulties from our broadcasting platform at the Walter Butler Shipyards. This is Ray Paulson with Don Mason.
I didn't see that one coming. I saw the others with Jack, but not with Joel.
Well, Joel gets a little funny around women. We have messages from area businesses who want to wish the Quints the best. The Northwest Paper Company of Cloquet, Minnesota, would like to thank the Dionne Quintuplets for doing their bit to help their country and the whole Allied effort. We are proud to have them visit us and hope they have a nice time. Northwest Paper Company of Cloquet, a symbol of good paper.
The Ritz Nightclub welcomes the Quints and Quint visitors. The Ritz has a special Quint show featuring Dorothy and Charlie Rankin as MCs, Maury Arnovich at the Miniature Steinway, and the Ritz Orchestra with continuous shows until 3 a.m. The Ritz Nightclub at 1601 North 3rd Street in Superior.
Well, with full confidence in Joe the engineer, we'll play some music for your entertainment and should have this latest problem fixed in time for the ship launchings. Here's Bing Crosby and Swinging on a Star on this special Quint Day radio broadcast on station KUWS.
Would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a mule? A mule is an animal with long, funny ears. Kicks up at anything he hears.
His back is brawny, but his brain is weak. He's just plain stupid with a stubborn streak.
And by the way, if you hate to go to school, you may grow up to be a mule.
Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a pig?
A pig is an animal with dirt on his face. His shoes are a terrible disgrace. He has no manners when he eats his food. He's fat and lazy and extremely rude.
But if you don't care a feather or a fig, you may grow up to be a pig.
Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a fish?
A fish won't do anything but swim in a brook. He can't write his name or read a book. To fool the people is his only thought. And though he's slippery, he still gets caught.
But then if that sort of life is what you wish, you may grow up to be a fish. Kind of jumped up slippery fish, and all the monkeys are in the zoo.
Every day you meet quite a few.
So you see, it's all up to you. You can be better than you are. You could be swinging on a star.
We've just enjoyed the music of Bing Crosby and Swinging on a Star on our special Quint's live broadcast. Let's try to go once again to the Walter Butler Shipyards for Jack McKenna, Lou Martin, and Harriet Farragar. Can you hear me, Jack?
Loud and clear, Ray. And I'm the one holding the toothpicks now.
Yeah, the darn tootin' fire.
You mean Main Cable A, don't you?
To get back to the events, guys.
Right you are.
We're just minutes away from the launching of the first of five Lend-Lease ships bound for England. This is the first time that any shipyards in America has launched five ships in one day. Mike Simonson is down among the dock workers, the unsung workers who made this day, May the 9th, 1943, one that will be long remembered in Superior's history. Come in, Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Lou. I'm proud to say that I'm among a group of shipyard workers who made this day possible. Hi, guys.
Yeah.
It's hard work. 10-hour days, 7 days a week for many of these men at the Walter Butler shipyards. These five ships were only blueprints 3 months ago. In fact, this shipyard was an empty field, a swamp and city dump only 16 months ago. But when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor and President Roosevelt called upon Americans to build ships and planes and weapons, a building contractor from St. Paul heard the call. Robert Butler acquired the land and added shipbuilders to the company named after his father, Walter Butler. Today, 4,200 men work here, and with great pride, each is wearing a button that reads, "The Launching of the Quint Fleet."
You like these buttons? I'll get you and your pals in the platforms and buttons.
That's great. I know Lou likes to collect souvenirs from news stories. This is Holger Modine, the business agent of the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers, Iron Shipbuilders, Welders, and Helpers Local 117.
Well, you know, we've got a little bet going about that platform your friends are standing on over there.
You mean some of you are betting it won't last for the whole broadcast?
Yeah, well, everyone's betting it won't last. We're taking bets about when it goes. Selling them off in 50-minute increments. I'm looking to figure to make about a good $100. Well, anyway, it's a good union laborer. Could have built a solid platform for you fellows.
You guys, our engineer is a little on the sensitive side, so let's move on, shall we?
You can talk to Kate Carlson here. He came to America in Superior in 1925. Let's see, that'd be 18 years ago. He's from Norway, so talk slow.
And I'm betting that the platform got maybe 10 minutes before she goes, don't you know?
So working on these Liberty ships are important to you, Mr. Carlson.
Oh, yeah. As important as the breath of life itself. I have my father and sister and brother back in the old country, don't you know, and I haven't heard from them since 1940 when the Nazis took over. That's 3 years without knowing if my family's okay.
It's been difficult for you.
And there's a lot of guys in the same boat. These men are from Germany and Poland and Italy and Greece and Finland and Russia and all from all over the place. They got friend and family over there. They don't know nothing about how they are. And I'll tell you what else. A lot of these fellas have sons fighting in faraway places like New Guinea and Tunisia. No, sir. This is no job to us. This is war. 10 hours a day, 7 days a week for us.
My name is Ben Lazarski, and I just want to tell everyone that, well, I get up at 4 every morning, I do my farm chores, and then by 6 o'clock, I'm on the road to Superior. I punch in at 7, work till 6 o'clock. They don't have to tell us there's a war on. We will not quit until that Hitler is dust. I left Poland in 1907. But my sister is still over there. I haven't heard from her since 1939 when those Nazis invaded her village. I got a son who just turned draft age. He's waiting to go. I would like to tell the people of Poland over this radio that we Americans are working day and night to help them win back their freedom. We hope they can take heart until that day comes.
Very moving. Mr. Ben Lazarski, proud worker here at Butler Shipyards. Next is Mr. Otto Skamrock. I understand you were born in Germany, Mr. Skamrock.
I fought in the German army for the Kaiser in 1917 through 18. I was just a kid then. But we were good fighters. We showed the Tsar's army a thing or two. But then Hitler took power in 33. I tried to fight him, and I did, a lot of us did. But then he got power, and we knew we had to leave. I came to Superior, and now I work as a rigger at the shipyard. It won't be long before we knock the hell out of Hitler. We never give up. They ask for this, and they'll get what it is that's coming to them darned Nazis.
Mr. Otto Skamrock, an immigrant and American patriot.
I'd also like you to talk to George Ferrario. Well, he's a native Duluthian, but his parents came from Italy.
They say our engineer's last name is Gordonio, and he built the platform like that. And he... How come he sounds a Scandinavian?
Hmm? I think his mother is Swedish, I'm not sure. We're not quite sure about his background, but he's the engineer, so we talk nicely about him or get poked with
a
toothpick.
No, think about the wire. You know, you do the little the wire there and the toothpick. Well, he sounds Swedish to me. And, you know, the first thing my parents did when they arrived here in the New World, do you? Yeah, it rang to me.
I'm...
Well, they took out the citizenship of papers. They knew this would be the country and the country of the Barbados. Well, I had a good job as a highway engineer in Minnesota before the war, but, once the war hit America, I quit. I quit to do war work. I want to build liberty ships. Build the ships and weld and steel the plate. Well, now I'm an electrician's helper, and today we strike a big blow against the Hitler and Mussolini. We descendants of the old country know that our cousins would rather live in peace than in war. So they must know that when Americans land in Italy, it'll be the freedom. Now!
Thanks, George. One more person I'd like you to meet, Mr. Simonson. Stop and talk to just a real Native American, Opa Gon.
I'd rather work my farm and let the white man and his society go about its business. I'd rather be with my wife and two children.
No, you're too good for us.
I think I'd be hurt now. Opa Gon wouldn't rotten not spend time with us. Yeah. Here we are at this good parties, and he's saying he'd rather be on his farm than with us white boys.
Well, as a matter of the fact there, I don't think I've seen anyone whiter than you Scandinavians.
These guys are good friends. They're kidders, but they're my friends. We're all in this together. I'm not Chippewa once I come to work. They're not anything other than fellow shipyard workers. And we all have the same goal. We've got a job to do. We've got to clean out that rat's nest so all people can live in peace and enjoy life. But once peace comes, it's back to the farm for Opagan.
Yeah, and me, back into my family's and Bambino's back in the farm.
That's good.
And that is a look at our real-life workers at the Butler Shipyards from all walks of life and all Americans. Lou?
Thank you, KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson.
And Lou, take it easy on that platform.
I'm sure they were just joking about that betting thing. They don't really think this thing will actually collapse.
This thing better hold us.
Hold what? What thing? What are you holding now, McKenna? Are you complaining again? What is it, McKenna?
Hey, what's he doing up here?
This is Douglas County Draft Board number 2 Chairman, Colonel Raffaele.
Better get ready, Don. I think it's coming our way again.
No, no more of it. Don't all stand together, don't you understand?
We're back here at the KUWS studio. We're having some technical difficulties from our broadcast at the Walter Butler Shipyards. This is Ray Paulson with Don Mason.
I wonder which shipyard worker won the betting pool. Say, do you think they're all right?
Well, as long as Jack lands on his head and Lou on his tail, those are their least vulnerable spots. Duluth Brass Works sends their welcome to the Dione Quintuplets. Duluth Brass Works has a complete stock of bearing bronze bushings, say that fast 10 times, and distributes rolled brass sheets and rods. Duluth Brass Works Company, 5002 Ramsey Street in West Duluth, established in 1896.
Holtzberg's Cleaners welcome the Quints also. 5 more ships to take the Axis to the cleaners. Holtzberg Cleaners, Dyers and Furriers at 1514 Belknap in Superior. Dial 6685.
The Quints haven't launched the ships yet, but will very soon. We hope to bring you this big event. Stick with us, friends. We'll play another patriotic number for you. Here's the Mills Brothers with Count Basie and his orchestra, a special version of Up the Lazy River on the Dione Quintuplets special broadcast.
Lazy, lazy river,
in the noonday sun. Linger in the shade of a kind old tree.
Put away your troubles and dream a dream, dream a dream of me.
Of the lazy river, where the robin song meets the bright new morning, where we can overlong.
Fine music of the Mills Brothers with Count Basie and Up the Lazy River on station KUWS. We're told that the shipyard workers are helping rebuild the radio platform for us. Hey, if they can build these big ships, they can put some planks together for our radio boys.
Those same guys want to say hello to the Dion Quintuplets, the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers, Iron Shipbuilders, Welders, and Helpers of America. Number 117 is working for victory. You bet they're working hard and working together. They're proud of this Quint fleet launching, and they're happy to have the Quints here to see what they've been doing. Uncle Sam has been counting on them, and the Boilermakers and Welders know he won't be sorry. That's from Local 117, Ray.
Jack, Lou, can you broadcast?
That's a question we've been asked all of our careers.
Well, is everyone all right?
Jack's got a knot on his head, but he's okay.
I'm fine. Lou landed on his backside.
I'm okay.
You know, it's kind of scary how I know them, isn't it, Dot?
I think you guys have worked together too long.
Well, how's Harriet?
Oh, dear. Lewis threw his body in front of me so I wouldn't land so hard. I'm fine, too.
Oh, that Lewis. What a man. It's all yours, Jack and Lou.
It would have been nice if he would have thrown himself to cushion my fall, too, you know.
I may not be here talking if I'd done that. Let's thank those shipyard workers.
I've never seen anything like it. It seems they were putting this back together before we hit the ground.
Like they knew what was going to happen.
That one guy, Opaw Gunn, looked a little too happy about this whole thing.
Well, he was saying something about being able to buy himself a new watch. Hey, in case anybody back at the radio station cares, the old colonel's okay, too. McKenna threw himself in front of me to block my fall.
That wasn't on purpose.
Yeah, and I'm okay, too. Just before I landed, I jumped up. Jumping high. Say, those shipyard guys sure built this thing nice and sturdy now, boy.
Whew. Yeah, I bet I could jump up and down on this.
No, Jack, don't do that.
I was just kidding, guys. Ouch, stop that. Give me that toothpick.
I do believe it's time for the launching.
What a special Mother's Day for these five little girls from Canada, Lewis. I can see their mother, Olivia, standing with them.
Understand that this is the first time the Quints have seen the ship up close. The girls are gathered on a special Coast Guard launch on the Hewitt Slip.
All eyes are on the girls, of course, but it seems like they don't even notice.
The Watson Ferris will be the first ship to be launched, and Annette will christen it with a bottle of Niagara Falls water. They're waiting for a signal from the launching master, Captain B.J. Roberts. Douglas County Draft Board Chairman Colonel Raffaele is across the Hewitt Slip so he can get a closer view of the Quints and a waterside seat at the launching of the Watson Ferris. Can you hear me, Colonel?
Roger on that, Martin. I'd say there are anywhere from 18 to 25,000 people who turned out to watch. But not many where I'm standing. That's strange, too, because I've got a bird's eye view.
What are the Quints doing now?
Well, I can see their little faces. They look thrilled and scared. Maybe pensive is a better word for it.
I told you he'd scare the Quints.
They can't hear me, McKenna. I think they're nervous about the cameras and all the people. Now, the little darlings are wearing red coats and matching wide-brim red hats, each holding a bouquet of flowers. Picture perfect for the fashion conscious. A bow of gross grain ribbon for each of the little girls is a perfect match to this ensemble. Their anklets are white to offset their red slippers. There are other striking costumes adoring the others on the Coast Guard platform. Shall I continue?
Perhaps just stand by, Colonel. Very pretty report, though.
Well, thank you, McKenna.
The whole affair is awash in colors, Lewis and Jack. The grandstands are alive with gay, bright red, white, and blue, and a dash of yellow thrown in.
Say, I'm kind of jealous of Colonel Raffaele. I mean, he's got a great view, and he's closer to the Quints. How come you sent him there? I would have liked to go.
No, you wouldn't. Trust me on this. Good listeners, the moment that we've been waiting for is here.
Thank the heavens. And don't you touch nothing, Jack.
Annette is ready. She's looking to her mother for reassurance.
Captain Roberts has dropped the handkerchief that signals the X-Men to cut the cables. But I don't think Annette saw the handkerchief drop. The boat's starting to slide.
Goodness, it's family friend and novelist Miss Lillian Barker to the rescue. She just nudged Annette.
The ship is moving sideways along greased timbers into the slip.
I can see her. I can see her. She's tilting my way. My way.
Annette just swung her bottle at the moving ship. It hit its mark, Lewis.
And the Watson Ferris Lend-Lease ship hits the water with a smack for victory for the Allies. The Ferris is creating a huge wave as it plows across the Hewitt Slip.
That wave is heading right for Colonel Raffaele.
Tsunami! Martin, I'll get you for this!
The citizens of Superior and the workers at the Walter Butler Shipyard paid part of what will be a large bill for freedom today. Four other Lend-Lease ships bound for Great Britain will be launched in 30 to 45 minute intervals. The Coast Guard has to remove the Watson Ferris from the slip, so the Quints will have to wait around for the next launching. That'll be Cecile, who will christen the Gurdon Gates.
The shipyard workers are slapping each other on the back. I can see Mr. Chopper Carlson and Mr. Werner Salen with their axes. They both look pretty happy.
I have to say, this is something I will never forget, and that I'm glad to have been a part of this. However, I do wish we could have met the quintuplets.
You never know, Jack. Miss Lillian Barker is a friend of mine. She's the family friend who was with the Quints. Tell you what, send it back to the studio for a song.
We'd rather not linger here, though, Harriet. Colonel Raffaele is making his way back over here.
Jack, just ask Ray to play another musical number.
I've got it, Jack. We'll play a little number here and let you guys do whatever you have to do. So, here goes. This is Glenn Miller and his orchestra, When You Wish Upon a Star, on our special historic quintuplets broadcast on station KUWS. Just enjoyed the fine music of Glenn Miller and his orchestra, and When You Wish Upon a Star, on the Martin and McKenna Show. Are you ready back there at the shipyard? Come in, Jack McKenna and Lou Martin.
Jack's no longer here, Ray, but we've got a scoop for you, thanks to Miss Harriet Farrig.
It's the Quince! They're coming our way! It's the Quince! It's the Quince!
Surrounded by about a dozen Marines and a member of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, for each of the girls.
Hey, Jack's here. Why did you tell Ray that Jack's gone?
Jack is gone, you know. Harriet says the girls wanted to meet Uncle Bob. It turns out they're members of the Fair and Square Club.
We better make it fast. I hear that Colonel Rafferty is making his way through the crowd.
Colonel has arrived there, Martin.
Hey, mister, stay away from the equipment with your wet clothes.
All right. And that's Colonel to you. Hey, the Quince. The Quince are coming. They're coming to our platform.
Yeah, isn't this great?
They probably saved Martin's life. Aren't they sweet?
We're looking for Uncle Bob. You want to see Uncle Bob?
Yeah, we're members of his Fair and Square Club.
Well, if it isn't my favorite quintuplet sisters. Hi, Lucille.
Hi, Uncle Bob.
And how are you, Annette? You did a great job christening that big old boat.
I was scared, Uncle Bob. But I did good, didn't I?
All my Fair and Square kids do good, Annette. And here's Yvonne and Emily and Marie, too.
Uncle Bob!
Say, did you ever see a boat as big as that one that splashed into the water, girls?
That man over there got all wet.
And he said some words in French that we didn't understand. And we speak French.
I'm sorry about that, girls. The colonel was just wishing the ship good luck. Yeah, that's it. I was good luck wishing. Yeah.
Okay, Uncle Bob, which one am I?
And what's my name? Only Uncle Bob will know which one of us is which.
I'll tell you if you promise to sing Uncle Bob a song. You know, Uncle Bob wants his club members to be good citizens, and I think you can prove it to me. Is it a deal?
Yes, Uncle Bob.
But only if you could get each of our names right.
You know Uncle Bob can tell you all apart. It's not your outward looks that makes you special to Uncle Bob. It's what's inside that counts.
Then which one am I?
And me.
Well, let's see, you're Lucille, the one who loves her ponies. And you, you're Yvonne, who's not shy to step forward for your sisters.
And my name, Uncle Bob?
Annette, who loves to read and then tell stories to your sisters. And that leaves you, Marie.
You're Uncle Bob, all right.
And last but not least, the shy one, Emily. Hi, Emily.
Bonjour, Uncle Bob.
Bonjour, Emile, little
pussy. Get the marbles out of your mouth, Bob. It's Emily.
Sorry, but that's my voice. Bonjour, Emily.
Now, how on God's green earth did he do that?
Jack is special in his own way.
Hey, I'll tell you what, girls. I have special fair and square decoder rings that have secret messages for each one of you. And your brothers and sisters, too. Won't that be fun?
Yeah!
But first, you have to keep your promise to Uncle Bob and sing me a special song. I know you've been learning some songs in English.
We hope you'll like it, Uncle Bob. This is for you and everyone in the United States, our friend and neighbor.
Okay, ready? One, two, three.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Just beautiful, girls. And don't forget your Uncle Bob's fair and square secret decoder rings.
Thanks, Uncle Bob.
And remember, it's never square to be fair in the Fair and Square Club.
You're crying, Harriet.
It was so sweet. I can't help it.
That was the most beautiful thing I'd ever heard. I think I'm going to cry.
Yeah, well, me too. That song. Well, that song. That gets me. It gets me every time. And those little girls singing, I'll never forget.
Hey, no tears on the equipment, you guys. This stuff doesn't take the water too well, so get away from that.
You have been listening to...
You've been listening to Radio Superior, May 9th, 1943. You've been listening to Radio Superior, May 9th, 1943. This is a weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farag is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Kathy Loxo as Alma Kitchell, Tom Martinson as Bishop O'Connor, two shipyard workers, and Colonel Raffley. Ray Paulson as a shipyard worker and Chopper Carlson the Axeman. Don Hanson was engineer Joe Gardunio and two shipyard workers. Mark Mallory as a shipyard worker. Jack McKenna played Uncle Bob and Axeman Werner Saline. The Dion Quintuplets were played by young ladies from the Superior Public School System, Elise Olson, Kella Johnson, Abby Guttler, and Emma Radke. All events reported on Radio Superior 1943 are actual accounts from editions of the Superior Evening Telegram on file at the Superior Public Library. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.
Building contractor from St. Paul heard the call. And what
Robert Butler. Let's see.
Robert
heard the call.
Who's the Robert? off the script anyway.
Robert Butler acquired the land and added shipbuilders to the... This is Holger Modine, the business agent of the International Boiler...
Let's see, International. You try saying Boilermaker 20 times down at Louis' pub.
How many Boilermakers have you had?
Brotherhood of Boilermakers.
Just kidding, guys. That was
just kidding. Stop that. Give me that toothpick.
Hey, Jack.
Holy moly, I think Jack hit his head. He sounded like Lou.
He stepped on my tongue.
Okay, Jack, go ahead.
I was just kidding.
Each holding a bouquet of flowers. Picture perfect for the fashion conscious. A bow of gross grain ribbon for each of the little girls is a perfect match to this ensemble. Their anklets are white to offset their red slippers. They are...
Okay, I do. I like that. Don't ever, whatever you do, find a way to get that back in. Okay, let me start with Bo. A bow of gross grin.
The boat's starting to slide.
Goodness, it's Family Feud. Jack, just ask Ray to play another musical number.
I've got it, Jack. We'll play a little number here and let you guys do whatever you have to do. So, if I knew what it was, I'd tell you, but I don't know.
You're Uncle Bob, all right.
And last but not least, the shy one, Emily. Hi, Emily.
Bonjour, Uncle Bob.
Bonjour, Emile, Emily. Bonjour, Emile.
Emily.
Emily McKenna. Get the marbles out of your mouth, Bob. It's Emily.
Sorry, but that's my voice. Bonjour, Emily.
Now, how on God...